Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Social Change Action Network. I am, this is your host, Be the Preacher. Bless Shabbat on a Saturday. Sabbath. Day that you set aside for the most high. That he lives.
Right.
Never lost. Here today to deal with the ways of this world, the cares of this world. For we are not ignorant of Satan's device. Now, son, we know most of all Isaiah 54 and 17, those who form the sense of and thought. And when it comes, the life is of the living us, we shall defend his wrath. It all going. Joy of the Most High is your strength. Change Action Network. I am V, the Preacher, your host for another Saturday, and I welcome you to the broadcast. We're going to cover some topics today. Our theme scriptures that we'll be going to is in Nahum, and a little bit later on in the show, we will be talking about some of the more current events, things that are taking place, and some of the things that we left off with last week. We got some responses as it pertains to looking for additional resources as it pertains to healthy living, healthy eating, how to combat cancer, and how to just all around combat some of the toxins and poisons and food and things that they're putting our way. But we know, as I quoted one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that tries to rise up against us, we shall condemn. So let the preacher preach. Let the preacher preach. Brothers and sisters, we got a lot of Israelites out there today who are taking time out and time away from giving knowledge and truth and divulging all their energy into criticizing other preachers, other teachers, other shows, other Israelites. And we know that's a trick of the enemy to keep us further separated. Let me say this. The Most High doesn't need your help to chastise. When he wants to silence somebody, he will silence someone. We got some Israelites out there that want to be the next T.D. Jakes of the Israelites and mock other people with bullhorns or with instruments or how they do what they do. Let me say something. Focus on doing what you do and continue to bring that truth. I salute every one of you that are in effort and exercising your gifts and abilities to do all that you can to wake up our people and preach to the Gentiles. Because time is running out, and every moment and minute you spend doing something that is futile, a waste of time, energy, or that separates and divides, you have fallen into the hands of the enemy. And know that anything that the Most High gives you to give to his people is not yours. Once he gives it to you and you disperse that information, it is a shame for you to say that somebody took something from you or that it was originally yours. Because we know that freely we receive, that freely we must give. And that we take no claim to it. We don't have too many people that are willing to make themselves like John. And today, since it's the Sabbath, our Shabbat Shalom, every Saturday I like to come to you with the word before we get into any events or topics. But we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Most High. And it is by this that we shall survive in this hour. Because our ultimate tool in this battle is going to be our prayer. And when we pray, we must pray the word of the Most High. So we understand that we can't separate and divide. We have to come together and prepare ourselves to come together. We're going to exercise the Shabbat, Sabbath, and we're going to exercise the laws, the commandments. We have to also exercise the way that we will be when we get back into the promised land. And that's showing cohesiveness to our enemies because they're watching. I don't want to delay the time. Let's go to the book of Nahum. I got a word I want to share with you before we get into other news. The book of Nahum. Nahum means comfort or consolation of the Most High. Nahum's book has certain aspects of theodicy, which means a defense of God. Nahum provided answers to the questions of God's people. And the number one question was, has God forsaken us? I hear that a lot today. A lot of people wonder if last weekend was really the end of the world. Have we been left here? It's funny now, but a lot of people were buying into that. And here's a man who's a false prophet. I'm not even going to call his name. I'm not giving his name any more attention than it needs, because it's been spoken up a lot. But here's a man who considers the Bible, which is our history book, 1611, original King James, who was a black man, that had the Apocrypha in it, and that makes mention of the book of Jasher and Enoch, two other wholly inspired books that you should be reading. He calls it a cosmic roadmap. How dare somebody call our history book that King James authorized scholars to compose because we were being driven out of Jerusalem and driven down north into Africa and being dispersed, and he knew that the Vatican was coming after him, and he wanted to compile these books so that we would have our history. Do your studies, Sam. Do your studies. He knew that we had to have this so that we could have something to remind us that we would remember what God had given us, our rich, vast history. And here today, a man of false prophet wants to call it a cosmic roadmap. Explains what the Neanderthals are thinking. They're not the ones who are to preach in this hour. Preachers preach. Preachers preach. I would say I salute every one of you with a radio show. You keep doing what you're doing. If you don't have all the knowledge will come. Give some time. God takes the foolish thing to confound the wise. Somebody may hear one grain of truth from somebody you claim that doesn't need a bullhorn or need to be on the corner or talking about what kind of clothes they wear and mocking them. Somebody might hear one grain of truth, and that person might be the next Elisha in this hour, because they'll go and study and watch God take that small bit amount and expand it into a tree, an elm tree. Let me get back to the scripture. The answer at that time was, has God forsaken us? During the time when Abram wrote this book, why are the Assyrians prospering? That's what the biggest question was also. And people want to know, are God's promises empty? And this book also, Nahum affirms that God may be slow to anger, but he will not at all acquit the wicked. They're not getting away with this. Book of Nahum, the first chapter. The burden, I'm not quite sure if you can hear me, so I'm going to change this. So, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkishite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath of his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Key scripture, the Lord is not going to acquit the wicked. They will not get away with it. All we have to do is go back to Psalms 83 to understand what God has said. Who are the wicked? 83 says in the second verse, for lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones, the children of Israel who are hidden in this hour. Those are the Edomites and the Moabites, the Ishmaelites, Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Philistines, and all the other inhabitants are the ones that Nahum is in reference to. Back to Nahum 1:3. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. We go back to the third verse. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. It's been almost 400 years, and some people think they're getting away with murder. But know that he will not at all acquit. You're not sure about it, go to Joel, the third chapter, in your spare time, and read the day of the Lord. It's going to be dark. People telling you that there's going to be an alien invasion. No, the Most High is coming back. His son is on his way back. And it's going to be a dark day of recompense. And it will be a day of reckoning. I'm going to go to the sixth verse, Nahum 1 and 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him, by the Most High. The Most High is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Now, let me pause, fam, on that right there. It says that the Most High is good. We know that he is good, and he is our stronghold in this hour. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. That's when you hear something that most people cringe at and get fearful, you ought to get strong and prepare yourself for battle. He's given us power and love. But even in the midst of that strength, you still have love for your people, for him, for those that try and do evil against you. And a sound mind. People are snapping in this hour, losing their mind. Instead of proacting, they're reacting to everything. And we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And when you react to flesh and people and what they do to you, you have to know that it is a spirit that has inspired that person to come against you, to get you to react. And when you react, you open up your spirit to those same demons. That's why we have to proact and think before we respond. And be settled in the Word of God, in the Word of the Most High. The seventh verse says, he knoweth them that trust in him. Don't think the Most High doesn't know who his people are. Are you trusting in your 401k, your wealth, the little bit of equity you have in your home, your husband, your wife, your job, your children? Do you have plan B, C, D, E? The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The word says, the just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. The Most High knows those that are standing and waiting and depending on him to bring us through the day of trouble. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Problem is, we want to see it. And we know that the things seen, as 2 Corinthians 4 chapter says, are temporary, but the things unseen are eternal. So you have to stand in this power by faith. If he could provide warmth at night in the wilderness for the children of Israel, and could provide shelter from the sun in the daytime, provide quail, and provide manna, what makes you think he's not going to do it for you? We'll go to the 8th verse. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Most High? He will make an utter end of affliction. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured and stubble, fully dry. That's all these folks that are drunk with this new wine, drunk underneath the whore and the Roman Catholic Church, going to church just to get drunk, just to get high, but not getting any knowledge, just to feel good, just for emotional highs, just want to be drunk in the spirit, just want to wallow in the floor, just want to speak in tongues and babble and go home and ain't got nothing, no knowledge, no growth, no deliverance, no repentance, no understanding. One verse says, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. But the 12th verse says, thus saith the Most High, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. All the Most High has got to do is just pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, listen Israel, it's talking to you. Though I have afflicted thee, I'm talking to the hidden ones, 12 tribes, you fam. People that have repented, that are redeemed, and that follow his commandments. He says, though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee and will burst thy bonds asunder. You know, you've got to go back to Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, to understand the yoke that he's in reference to. He's going to destroy the yoke off of us. And as he said in the 9th verse, affliction shall not rise up a second time. No. He's going to break the yoke off of us. People forget that the scripture says, I will bless them that bless Israel, and I will curse them that curse Israel. Problem is, we're blessing those Jews, those Kanasi Jews, and those the Khazars, and those Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9 speaks of those people that are over there setting themselves up and trying to take our identity and our heritage that they can't. Those aren't the people you bless. Israel is bless your people, minister to your people, minister to the lost tribes, those that are suffering, that have this yoke on them. And the ones that are cursing them, they shall be cursed. 13 again, for now will I break his yoke from off thee and burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Most High hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown out of the house of thy gods. Will I cut off the graven image and the molten images, all these images in these pagan churches and things that we look at and worship, that we fixate on, pictures, images, things we can touch and feel and see? Most High is going to destroy those things. He said, I will make the grave, for thou art vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off.
Whom that bringeth good tidings is our brother the Messiah, the Shion Mashiach. That's who we're waiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to move forward. We haven't been taking calls. The shows have only been 30 minutes. Somewhere down the line, we'll get to a position where we'll be taking calls. But feel free to email us any comments or questions that you may have here at the Social Change Action Network. But I want to move on to something that has been in the news. It's reported we've been talking about freedoms and different things that they're going to be trying to take away from us. I'm going to read this. Russian leader calls Obama insane over U.S.-French plan to control the Internet. The initial reports circulating in the Kremlin today about the G8 summit being held in Paris state that an angry President Medvedev has accused both American President Obama and French President Sarkozy of being completely insane. They're attempting to monopolize the agenda with their plan to control the Internet. That's right. This whole, everything that we're somewhat relying on to get our information out and get this message out. While the West teeters on the brink of economic collapse, the world is fast running on food. And the revolutions in the Arab world threaten all-out global war. The only American mainstream media source reporting on this tragic situation is the Christian Science Monitor, go figure, who in their article titled, As World Burns, G8 Leaders Fiddle with the Internet. Seriously? Further notes, Sarkozy, Obama, and other leaders at the G8 should be evaluating the policies that have brought them to the brink of financial ruin. Unfortunately, their attention will be elsewhere on Internet regulation, for one thing. Sarkozy's call for controlling the Internet based upon what he claims is the moral imperative needed to correct the excess and abuses that arise from the total absence of rules has been joined by Obama, who is preparing to sign a new U.S. law. This man is so corrupt. Satan is using him to possess. We all voted for it. Obama, who is preparing to sign a new U.S. law called Protect IP, once passed by the U.S. Congress, that would allow the U.S. Department of Justice to force search engines, browsers, and service providers to block users' access to websites and scrub the American Internet clean of any trace of their existence. So enraged was Google CEO Eric Schmidt about this new Obama regime law to censor the Internet in America, he vowed to defy it. And we quote, if there is a law that requires DNSs to do X and it is passed by both houses of Congress and signed by the President of the United States, and we disagree with it, then we would still fight it. If it's a request, the answer is we wouldn't do it. If it's a discussion, we wouldn't do it. Susan Poynter, Google Europe's Director of Public Relations, further slammed Obama and Sarkozy's plan to control the Internet by stating, access to information is not just a point of view of Google, but a genuine human right. Human rights, unfortunately, appears to be non-existent in the Obama regime. Vote for the black guy, right? Whose government has been accused of being more secretive than Bush's, and who's just signed by all of them, no less, an extension of the dreaded Patriot Act law. Top U.S. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon warned is being used in secret against the American people without either their knowledge or approval. In an even more shocking example of how the Obama regime has trampled the rights of these once free people, U.S. Justice Department lawyers state to a federal court judge this past March that they, the U.S. government, had the right to lie to the court, and we quote from the actual court ruling. The court found the government to have lied and provided false and misleading information to the court through sworn statements. When the deception was revealed, the government argued that it had the authority to mislead the court and requested an opportunity to brief the issue to the Internet censored future the American people can look forward to. And as we had warned about on May 18th, it became evident this past week when Obama this past week broke his oath of office to defend the U.S. Constitution by failing to abide by the 1973 War Powers Act to notify U.S. Congress about his new war in Libya. There are anti-war protests of any kind of protest of that matter now occurring in either the United States or United Kingdom, where citizens are not allowed to know about it. And as we can read from the CNN article titled Government Orders YouTube to Censor Protest Videos on the Infowars.com website, which in part says, in a frightening example of how the state is tightening its grip around the free internet, it has emerged that YouTube is complying with thousands of requests from governments to censor and remove videos that show protests and other examples of citizens simply asserting their rights while also deleting search terms by government mandate. YouTube is not YouTube anymore. It's censored. Everything you're searching for is being observed. They're building up a database on you. I don't tell you all this for you to be afraid, because we're not afraid of anything. Nothing can be done unless the Most High allows it. And he's allowing a lot of these things to take place. We're moving into prophetic events that only move us closer to our brother coming back here. The day of reckoning. Straighten things out. No injustice will be acquitted. For my formula of possession, then my possession of call, must call a glorified, justified. What shall we then say to this? If the Most High be for us, what? Who can be against us? And in what can only be described as one of the most astounding historical ironies of this, of these Western powers seeking to censor their citizens' right to truthful information, Russia once ruled over by communist tyranny, and Germany once ruled over Nazi despots, had both rejected the U.S.-French call to control the Internet, having learned their lesson and vowing not to restrict it in any way whatsoever. For these people living in the U.S. and U.K. who may object to the censoring of their Internet, their governments have further plans for them, as new reports have emerged showing these Western governments' plans for injecting the mind-altering psychotropic drug lithium into their water supplies to keep them docile and compliant. They're getting ready to start contaminating the water supplies with lithium to keep you docile and compliant. Activated charcoal from the health food store. 2 to 3 filters on your water. Don't trust bottled water. Boiled water. Activated charcoal. Get as much as you can. Okay? The Most High, Holy Spirit will protect us, keep us clean, but you have to be proactive as well. These governments say, of course, that putting this powerful drug into their citizens' water will reduce the nation's suicide rates. But at least for the U.S., the shocking fact that Obama refuses to send condolence letters to the families of war-torn U.S. soldiers who commit suicide shows the true face of who these people really are. The family, once again, I tell you these things so that you're informed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is Steve the Preacher, and I just want to say before I sign off that truth is a journey, not a destination. And the only sure obstacle to truth is thinking that you already have it. Keep moving, come to the conversation. Know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. I want to refer you to some books. Dr. Jewel Pukram, she's very good with vitamins and minerals. And the Life Regenerator on YouTube, even though he's way out there, she's an Egyptologist and he's in New Age. They've given good information on how to eat right and what you should do to keep yourself healthy. Do your research. Stand your word. Seek him. Pray. Change Action Network. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.